backslide. That's what the writer is talking about in Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 4. But what the writer wisely did was, before he got into the substance of what backsliding represents, he lists these awesome blessings that are ours when we become children of God. So let us hear the passage again, Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 4.
For it is impossible.
For it is impossible.
For those who were once enlightened.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
The powers of the world to
come. Uh-huh.
They shall follow you to renew them again.
Stop here a while. The word follow away, the word follow away is referring to men and women who turn back, backslide. And you notice that the inspired writer used this impressive word, impossible. It is impossible to renew them again unto righteousness. Wait. Is it Brother Mitchell saying that when a man backslides, it's impossible for that person to come back to Christ? It's impossible for us to encourage that person? No, it's not saying that. And I'm hoping I'll in one of these lessons, say more. What the passage is saying is that once we start on the downward slide of backsliding, once we are in the church and we are stagnant, we stop growing, we're not going forward, we are sort of drifting, and sometimes we do not even realize we are drifting. Once that drifting starts, the business about impossible to renew unto righteousness is saying to us, we can drift so far from God's grace, from Jesus Christ, that with all the encouragement from other Christians, we do not see a way back. I use something simple. I can play with how far at the edge here I can go. Eh? I can play with it. Play with it and see how much I can maintain my balance and go at the edge. But you know a point? I can reach a point where I have to go down. I go too far over the edge. And when the Bible speaks about it is impossible to renew them, it is saying you or I can drift so far from Jesus Christ that even encouragement from angel cannot bring us back. The passage is not saying it is impossible for God to forgive. God is always gracious. But our disobedience, our sin, our frame of mind, our disposition, our attitude can take us so far that the way back is impossible for us. Uh-huh. But notice, after in verse 4, brother, it speak about impossible. Read that again, quickly.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened.
Wait, you see, watch it. You see, we might be so driven with terror and fear by the word impossible, that we fail to recognize the blessings which come after impossible. For it is impossible for those who were. So there start the awesome blessing of God. Those who were once enlightened. It's talk about men and women who became Christian. Wait, It's telling us what happened to us when we accept Jesus Christ. So I want to spend a little time on that. So here we are told that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we repent of our sin, having repent and get baptized, what word did you use again? Enlightened? We are enlightened. How comes enlightened? Where that concept comes from? The word enlightened is often used, well, rather, it is an often used expression in the New Testament. And the idea of being enlightened comes from the fact that Jesus Christ is the light of men. That's where it comes from, you know. That when a man or a woman accept Jesus Christ and let Jesus Christ be your guide, let his teaching be your guide in life, you are in the light. Because Jesus Christ is in fact the light of men. I'll be saying more of in fact, most likely this entire lesson, that the passage lists five awesome blessings that are involved when we become Christian. But brother, let me make sure I refresh the people, man. After enlightened, what? Wait, watch, you know? So enlightened is the first one. The second? The word taste means you have experience. That's two. That's three. That's four. You have tasted the power of the word. That's five. Five awesome blessings. But this entire lesson going to be spent just on enlightenment. Because there's so much for us to understand about being enlightened. Look at the book of St. John, chapter 1 and verse 5 and verse 9. Chapter 9 and verse 5. We are an enlightened. We want to make sure that we understand the concept and the idea in this business of being enlightened. St. John, chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 9. And then chapter 9 and verse 5. Let us hear it.
And the light shine in darkness.
And the darkness comprehended it not. Wait. This is about Jesus Christ, you know. That Jesus Christ came among men or came in a society, and that society represents darkness, because Jesus Christ is the light of men and the light of the world. The Bible represents the world as a time of ignorance before Jesus Christ. That was verse 5. Let us hear verse 9. That was the true light. Isn't this wonderful? The true light, Jesus Christ. But Brother Mitchell, what happened to the world before Christ? Man was just grouping in darkness. That's right. That's why the Almighty God tells us that at the time of this ignorance, he winked at. That's why the Almighty God permitted so much wrongdoing, so much evil in the world, because men were grouping in darkness before Jesus Christ. What it says, verse 9?
That
That was the true light. That lighted Jesus Christ, shine light in the path of every man who comes into the world. Christ is the light. Verse 9, chapter 9 and verse 5.
As long as I am in the world,
as long as I'm in the world,
I am the light of the world.
And somebody have a right to ask Brother Mitchell, but he's not in the world anymore. You are wrong. Jesus Christ is still here by the gospel. That's right. Christ is still here through the gospel. And as long as the gospel of Christ is around, the light is here. The idea of being enlightened, of Christian being enlightened people, is the fact that a life lives without and apart from Jesus Christ is a life lives in darkness. That's the old concept. That is, a life lives without Christ and apart from Christ is a life lives in darkness. Men and women who do not know Christ, who do not permit the gospel to guide their lives, they are living in darkness. But Brother Mitchell, a lot of people feel good and they feel happy. Yes, they are happy. Wait, let me illustrate. I was about to say they are happy because they can't see. That's true. Don't you know that you or I can be eating contaminated food and it tastes so nice, even though it's contaminated, and we just enjoying ourselves with the food simply because we do not know that it is contaminated. We are ignorant. We are in darkness in reference to the contamination that affects that food. Well, so it is. As you and I go through life, we can be happy and feel good without Christ simply because we are in darkness. In fact, I need to just drop this by here. 2 Corinthians, I think it is chapter 4 and verse 4. In fact, read from verse 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4. Just to let us.
Mm-hmm.
If our gospel be hid,
it is hid
to them who are lost. Wait, brother. You get what I get? Yeah, don't move. Men and women who do not know the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are lost. The passage has just said that. When we do not know the gospel of Christ, we are lost. Read on.
In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them to be not.
You hear? Blinded. That means you're walking in darkness. Who caused that? Satan. That's the God of this world. He is the one who takes control over so many men and women, take over their mind and warp it with false value. And here the Bible is telling us who blind men. So I repeat, men and women who live lives apart from Jesus Christ That man, that woman lives in darkness. That man or woman does not know or see where he or she is going. Hence, darkness. We can see where we are to go as we go through life only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Darkness is a symbol of ignorance, and light is a symbol of knowledge. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 and 5. I've just made the statement that darkness is a symbol. When the Bible speaks about darkness, it is by that very word telling us that we live in ignorance. When the Bible speaks of light, it is telling us that we live by the right knowledge. Let us hear 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 4 and 5.
But ye, brethren, are not in darkness.
Say that again.
But ye, brethren, are not in darkness.
Paul was writing to Christian. He said, Christian, you are not in darkness. Well, is that what we are looking at? That one of the first blessings listed, telling us when we become Christian, we are enlightened. Christian, you must keep this in mind. Because remember, you know, the passage of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, it is saying to Christian, how can you walk away from this? When a man or a woman backslide, give up Christ, Christianity, the church, and gone back into the world, the passage is saying, my God, what's wrong with you? How can you walk away from this blessing? The first of which you are enlightened. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, I said. You get some here too? That's not why I come here. But this is here. What he's saying, if the day of judgment caught us like a thief, I have to laugh. Oh, Lord. sorry. When we're leaving the house this morning, I said, this is a take up, etc., because, you know, people know we go to church and they break the house. You see, you don't know when the thief is coming, eh? Huh? But what the Bible is telling Christian, death or judgment should not catch us like thief. Huh? You get the point? Because if we permit that, we are acting like people living in darkness. You get the point? Read, brother, some people didn't hear it. We are not in darkness because we are enlightened. Read on. That's right. What verse is that? Let us hear 5. Everybody get that? It's not talking about all the people in the world. It's talking about Christians. When we live faithful lives to Jesus Christ, we are children of light. Wait. When we follow the gospel of Christ, we are children of light. Verse 5 finish.
You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness.
You hear? You notice the contrast between night and day, light and darkness. The whole concept here, brothers and sisters, is that when Jesus Christ and the gospel is that which is guiding our lives, our conduct, our sense of right and wrong, we live in light. And without Jesus Christ and the gospel, probably in a few minutes or second, I'll just use one item to illustrate that apart from Jesus Christ and the gospel, men do not really know what is wrong and what is right. Truly. Wait, they may have consciousness of something. In fact, let me go on and we'll get to that. From God's perspective, the condition of the unsaved man or woman is one of spiritual ignorance and darkness. Do I need to repeat that? From God's perspective, from the way God sees and assess humanity, when we remain in an unsafe state, when we choose not to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and live by the gospel, we live in spiritual darkness and spiritual ignorance. May I? Let me illustrate something here. As God's word speak to us and help us to understand better our situation here. The sun, yes, you go outside, the sun is shining. The sun is indispensable to the world and all things that are in the world. Without the sun, well, really, there would be no life. That's right. It is indispensable. The intelligent mind of the Almighty God who put together this universe and placed the sun to play the pivotal and important part that it plays. That alone is a demonstration of the wisdom of the Almighty God. So yes, the sun is indispensable. We can't do without it in this world. All things depend on the sun. Without the light and the heat rays of the sun, darkness and death would reign over all nature. Without the light of the sun, without the heat rays of the sun, it would be total darkness and death on earth. So the sun is really indispensable. You can't do without it. Is that accidental? No, that's the way the great wise God fixed things. I have some other news for you along that line. In the same way the sun is indispensable to the world of nature, Jesus Christ is indispensable in the area of moral and spiritual life. Without Jesus Christ, men and women knowing what is truly right and what is wrong, that would be totally gone. The world needs Jesus Christ and the gospel to know what is really right and what is wrong. Men and women who do not know Jesus Christ, they live and they walk in spiritual and moral darkness. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. Luke chapter 1, 78 and 79. And look, well, let us hear that.
To the tender mercy of our God,
whereby
the history of on high.
Start again, Luke 1, 78 and 79.
To the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring.
The day spring.
From on high
has visited us
to give light to them.
To give light. The day spring is Jesus Christ. And what is his purpose? To give light to who?
To them that sit in darkness.
To them that sit in darkness. Who? Humanity. The world. Don't move from the passage. The world sat in darkness up until Jesus Christ came. Read on.
In the shadow of death.
In the shadow. Wait, not only did the world sat in darkness before the coming of Jesus Christ, they sat in the shadow of death. Read on. That light that comes in the midst of the darkness, he came to guide our feet. Wait, you see the concept there? Is that as we go through life with Jesus Christ, we can know where we are to go. And if we slip off the track because the light is there, we can find our way back if we will. That verse 79 finish. To guide our feet into the way of peace. That's why Jesus Christ came. I was about to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 9, but let us keep that one and let us go to one that we had gone to before, second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 again. When men retain their unbelief, they live in darkness. Are you here this morning and you don't see a need to turn your life over to Jesus Christ? That desire to remain in disobedience is a manifestation of darkness. Wait. This is why the Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, O Lord, Let us hear it. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man, it is not in himself.
It's not the man that walketh to the righteousness.
Wait. We need some help as we go through life. We need God's help to direct our steps. Wait, the passage is not dealing with superstition. It's dealing with the fact that apart from Jesus Christ and the gospel, we do not know what is wrong from what is right. and we do not know the right path to take. May I? In fact, let me go on a little more before I bring that up. I was about to say the chief function of life. Let me say, one of the chief function or purpose of life is to reveal. One of the chief function of life is to reveal. As the light and the enlightener of men, Jesus Christ makes some marvelous revelation for us. Now, as you and I, and every man and woman, as we face and as we confront some of the vexing, some of the perplexing challenges of life, the enlightened children of God are not to be as confused and as perplexed as the ungodly men and women. Let me repeat that. I have just stated in fact that we all confront vexing, perplexing challenges of life, all of us. There are things that if you're not a child of God, there are things you face that perplex you. If you're not a child of God, there are things you face that confuses you. Well, the Christian also faces things that perplex him or her. The Christian also faces things that confuses him or her. But I have some news for you. The Christian who lives according to the word of God should never be as confused and be as perplexed as the ungodly man. You know why? Because the light of God's word removes a lot of the confusion in the world. We must keep that in mind. Jesus Christ Jesus Christ revealed God to man. I'm just going to list a few of the areas that Jesus Christ enlightened man. First, we deal with Christ reveals God to man. And then after that, we are going to understand that Christ reveals man to himself. What is the point? It is through Jesus Christ that humanity understand himself better. That's right. But first, Jesus Christ revealed God to man. That is, before Jesus Christ came, the world knew very little about the Almighty God. That's right. That is a fact. Before Christ made his advent on this world, men and women, the Jews, the Gentiles, knew very little about the Almighty God. Man knew very little about God's nature before Christ came. Men and women knew very little about the love of God before Christ came. Men and women knew very little about the mercies of God before God, Christ came. Men and women knew very little about the grace of God before Christ came. Men and women knew very little about the will and the purpose of God before Christ came. May we hear St. John 14, verse 7 to verse 9. Let us hear it. St. John 14, verse 7 to verse 9. We're not hearing.
Oh,
it's not working now. Okay. What I remember the point and the consideration that before Jesus Christ came, men and women knew very little about the love, the nature, the will, and the purpose of the Almighty God before Christ came. Read, brother. The brother is reading from the book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 7 to verse 9. If you had known me, you should have known my father, brother Wilson. What Jesus Christ is implying there is that they do not know him. And thereby they did not know God. Jesus Christ was speaking to the Jewish people who thought they had a monopoly on God and knowledge of God. Christ is telling them that they cannot know God outside of himself. Read on, brother. Wait. You get the point? Christ says, as of now, henceforth give that idea. Why, as of now, you know him? Because you have known me. You have seen me. That means before I came, your knowledge of God was so limited. Read, brother. Uh-huh. That's right. Uh-huh. Thomas wants to know God. Show us the Father that we may know. Jesus Christ is saying, look here, you do not need the Father, because when you see me, you see the Father. All the ways, the love that I show, the mercy that I show, the power that I demonstrate in my miracle is demonstrative of the power of the Almighty God. Read, brother.
He that sees me has seen the Father. And all says, tell them, show us the Father.
So you see, before Christ, men and women, knowledge of Jesus Christ, of God, was very limited. I'm talking about light, that one of the main purposes of light is to reveal. Jesus Christ as the light of men revealed God to men. May I? You had reached verse 9. Thank you, brother. May I? In the purity of Jesus' light, we see the holiness of God. Before Jesus Christ, men did not really know the Father. In the suffering that Jesus Christ endured at Calvary, we see the love of the Almighty God. in the miracle that Jesus Christ performed while he was here. In those miracles, we see the power of the Almighty God. In the teachings that Jesus Christ gave, we see the plan and the purpose of God for man. So again, I repeat, before Jesus Christ came as the light of men, man's knowledge of the Almighty God was very limited. A few more points and the lesson will be yours. Jesus Christ as the light and the enlightener of man has not only revealed God to man, but Jesus Christ has revealed man to himself. Brother Mitchell, what you say? I'm saying that before Jesus Christ came, man did not even know himself properly. That's a fact. Apart from Jesus Christ, man knows very little about himself. Jesus Christ is the mirror to show man to himself. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 3-8. Read it quick for me. Time is going, brother. Luke chapter 5, remember the point I just made, that apart from Jesus Christ, man knows very little about himself, and that Jesus Christ is the mirror. Jesus Christ is the looking glass to let man see himself. Look at the passage of Luke. And this is just an example. Luke chapter 5, verse 3-8. Read.
And he entered into one of the
fish,
which was Simon.
Mm-hmm.
He was just
out of
the
middle
of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat down, called the people out of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had left, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep.
Remember, Jesus Christ came in the ship and he sat in the ship. The ship, it seems, was in harbor close by, and he was using the ship as his pulpit. That's where he was doing his teaching. And he beckoned to his disciple or apostle. What he said there, brother?
Launch out into the deep.
That's right. If you want to catch a lot of fish, go there and let down your net. Read on.
Simon.
Master. Uh-huh.
We have toiled all the night.
Uh-huh. Well, what Simon is really saying is that even the place where you're telling us to throw out our net, we have gone there already. Read on, brother.
Nevertheless,
I like that nevertheless. Read.
At thy word.
At thy word. What a wonderful statement. I wish more men and women would take that up. Nevertheless, because Jesus Christ says it. Ah, whatever you or I may think about baptism and the water, whatever you may want to see in the water and you cannot see, because Jesus Christ says, repent and get baptized, nevertheless, because Christ says it. Read, brother.
Nevertheless, at
thy word,
I will let down the net.
Uh-huh.
And when
they
have done it,
uh-huh.
Ooh,
read on. Uh-huh, too much fish. But it's not the too much fish I go there for, brother. We are glad that they caught a lot of fish. But read on. Uh-huh. Come and help us. Uh-huh. That's right. Can you believe it? Wait, wait, wait. Don't forget why we came here. That Jesus Christ is the mirror, huh? To show man himself. Without Jesus Christ, we as humanity do not know ourselves as we are to be known. And you may say, Brother Mitchell, what this passage have to do with? Wait a little bit now. Read on, brother.
And they came and killed both the
fish. Uh-huh.
They began to sing.
There was too many fish, too much fish. Read on.
When Simon Peter saw it, ooh, yeah. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord."
You see what I see? When Peter see who Jesus Christ really was, it shows up Peter's imperfection, Peter's ignorance, Peter's limitation, Peter's shortcomings. All of Peter's life, no one has ever helped Peter to see himself as when he stands beside the mirror, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shows man to himself. Only when we see Jesus Christ, holiness, do we realize how imperfect we are. Only when we study his word do we realize how ignorant we are. Only when we see the power of Jesus Christ, that's the only time we become conscious of our own weaknesses. Only when men think that they are wise, they are strong, they are good, they are holy, men think so of themselves until they compare themselves with Jesus Christ. They see how unholy, how foolish, how unwise they are. So Jesus Christ, as the light of men, did not only reveal God to man, Jesus Christ revealed man to himself. I close with the fact that Jesus Christ has also come, because I couldn't end this lesson if I didn't point out this fact. He reveals God to man. He reveals man to himself. Jesus Christ reveals man's destiny to man. Ladies and gentlemen, as the brother, look up the song that he will sing for invitation. May I say these few words in wrapping up? Centuries upon centuries, decades upon decades, for ages, the wise, the philosophers, the thinkers of all ages, of all time, wonder what comes after death. From the beginning of time, men and women, religious men, the Jew, irreligious men like the Greek philosophers contemplate what is beyond the grave. Job lived some 2,000 years before Jesus Christ. Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. The book of Job is older than Genesis. At least the time that Job lived was before Moses, who wrote the book of Genesis. And Job, in chapter 14, verse 14, asks the question, if a man dies, help me here, shall he live again? The question puzzled all the great thinkers of all time. One man says, shall spring ever visit the moldering earth? Shall the day ever dawn on the night of the grave? There was only question mark behind these questions regarding what is after death. It was never answered throughout the ages, neither by the Jews, the religious men of the Bible, until Jesus Christ came at Lazarus' death and let us know that he was the answer to that question. He has the answer to that question. What he said in the book of John 11, 25, 26, brother. Quick. Jesus said unto her. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, wait, we are closing, brother. I'm saying to you that this is what Christ is saying. Men and women of all ages, of all time, yearn to have this answer. No one knew it. It was tied up in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is in fact the life. He is the resurrection, and he's saying it here. I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Anyone who believes in me, yet even though that person were dead, that person going to live again. So after death, after the grave, there is life because of Jesus Christ. That answer didn't come. Read throughout the Old Testament. And you will not find the answer. Because that was tied up in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light of men. When you and I as Christians come to Christ, the Bible says we are enlightened. What a blessing. When we live by the gospel of Christ, we know the path of life to go. We know what is wrong from what is right. Brothers and sisters, there's so much to share in this. As the brother, look here. I step away from the pulpit because when I stand here, I'll continue talking. The brother can come. But may I? The confusion that men and women who do not know Christ have in reference to a same-sex relationship. The confusion that men and women have, the Christian doesn't have. You know why? We know what is wrong from what is right. Through Jesus Christ and the gospel. And godly men and women who do not know Christ and the gospel, they will forever be confused. You and I need not be confused. You know why? We are enlightened. And that enlightenment comes only through Christ and the gospel. Today, you can accept Jesus Christ through the gospel. Today, if you are a child of God who have backslidden, and if you have not gone too far, in fact, I don't think you have gone too far, because if you are here today as a backslider, it means you have not gone too far. Thank God. You can step forward and make a recommitment to Jesus Christ. You know why? He has not only enlightened you, he will continue to enlighten you. Let us stand as we sing.
From 300 to 300.
Walking inside my heart, my journey.